Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good-looking Tuesday morning, 67 in Green Bay. 68 in Appleton, 67 in Oshkosh. Coming your way at 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and the Civic Media app. You know, I'd like to do a show in Oshkosh one day because that building looks really cool. Where WISS is with
great.
The brick. I mean, that looks like that could have been used for the movie with Johnny Depp.
It's right down there, right?
It's down that area. I don't think they used it, but remember, that was a speakeasy back in the day.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Let's do a show in Oshkosh one day at the speakeasy.
That would be fun.
This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. They are our number one sponsor. They've been absolutely fantastic to us, and they still got that great deal going on, folks. It only lasts for one or two more days, though. At the end of the month, it's gone. Pay as low as $18 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Check it out. Pella completes the installation with no mess, no hassle, and they absolutely will have free in-home consultation. Give them a call. Check it out. Visit PellaWI.com today and get in on that great deal.
Love them. They even do windows on Eliza Street. So that's where our guest lives. Hey, we are here with...
Did you know where he lived?
Because we're kind of neighbors.
We had a nice chat.
Oh, okay. Do you call it the hood, too, like he does?
No.
Even though it's like $400,000 houses across the board?
I'm not in that income.
Okay.
Well, that... Yeah, anyway, you...
Hey, Todd. The only guy that has a $450,000 house that says, I live in the hood.
Anyway, Sean Franken is, we talk about great organizations here in Northeast Wisconsin, and we've talked about Curative before, and that is just a...
And
how many
we had Bear.
Whose daughter?
Yes. In the morning.
Yes. I'm sure you probably...
Who just could not say enough good things about them.
And then I told him I was out doing some work for... new community shelter and talk to an association that gives money. That's not what it's called. What's that called? A foundation. I went and met with a foundation, and they spoke very highly of Curative.
Yep.
So,
yep, it's a great place to work.
And you are the director of the work programs.
Yes, I'm the director of the employment and training program at Curative.
Okay, so I just want to... So you're Sean Franken, and how did you work your way to that?
So it's a crazy story. I worked in the corporate world for 17 years, and honestly, I was miserable. I had a job. I basically was keeping the job for the paycheck and the vacation time.
Welcome to my world.
And I just wasn't fulfilled. I was miserable every day coming home from work, and my wife and I started volunteering for the Green Bay Miracle League. In 2017, which is a baseball league.
For absolutely.
Oh, pretty supportive of them.
Yeah, we had one of their founders on the other day.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just kind of thought, I want to do something more fulfilling. I ended up starting at Curative in 2018 as a case manager, worked up to team lead in the employment department, and now I'm the director of the department.
That's awesome.
So, that is. And so what is the focus of your division over at Curative?
So... We have a Let's Work program, which is an employment training program where we train those who perhaps have not yet entered the workforce or for whatever reason have a lapse in the period of time where they've been working. We have classroom sessions that help them with their soft skills. We focus on stuff like teamwork.
And what kind of...
time management.
Who's the clientele? What's the common thread in the clientele?
So our clientele is adults, are adults with disabilities. Age range 18 to, I think we have early 50s right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of runs the gamut. We have people that have suffered traumatic brain injuries. We have autistic members, Down syndrome. So, if you're willing to work, we'll certainly have you.
And I just want to jump in, like, because we had Bear from Y100.
Yep.
His daughter suffered a stroke at a young age. He could not say enough good things about you guys. Remember, Jim?
It
changed their whole world, what you guys have done.
You do two things, and the top priority is really working with the client, but you also give the family a little
break. Right. We have many all the programs at Curative are great, and I'll get into a few of them in a second. But what the work program does is we have many of our members have been told, no, you can't do this your entire life, or your opportunities for employment are limited, right? So they come in our training program, gain the skills necessary, gain confidence, and ultimately gain a job in the community. And to see that progression.
That's awesome.
I got into this to make a difference, but it's truly our members that make a difference for me.
So you don't go home miserable anymore?
No, I don't.
Feel fulfilled.
Just a quick story about a member. So we had a gentleman come in at age 18 or 19, had really no social interaction, was not really a fan of the program or the staff or the other members, kind of shut down. Through the years, he gained confidence, went out to some of our sites to gain hands-on work
experience. Can I just ask, what was his disability? Like, why was he at Curative? He was
autistic.
Okay,
yep.
All right.
You know, we had somebody on from the Autism Society. Yeah, one out of 36 people born have some form of autism. Isn't mm-hmm. that mind-boggling?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how successful they can be. I mean, you know right. a lot more about it than I do. But, autism. So this kid came in so 5 years ago or whatever with autism.
Each member, we work on a goal, right? So it's a very person-centered program. Some people have 3 or 4 goals they're working on. Some have one. Some go through the program in 6 months. Some are there several years. Our goal is to set, not to just find people jobs, but to set them up for success so they can keep the jobs. And this individual just got a job at Goodwill several months ago, okay. And he's thriving. We offer coaching assistance when our members get jobs. He is off the coaching. He's totally independent at work, and he loves it. And that's
awesome. And if it wasn't for you guys, you might be sitting at home watching TV all day.
Yeah, playing video games.
What I mean? It's like, that's such a cool thing you do.
Yep. And we really, so another aspect of the program is not only do we do the training, we assist in finding jobs. So we help with applications, resume building. We go to interviews as support, and then we offer on-the-job coaching once our members are hired.
What a great piece of confidence for this kid, you know, to actually be paid, get a paycheck.
Yep.
That's super.
Pay taxes.
Yeah. I can't say enough about the program. It's honestly changed my life and the way I view things. And again, where I went in thinking I'd make a difference, it's the other way around.
So that's a main staple in the programs you oversee. Tell me about some other things that you work on. And these are all day programs. You have no overnight at Curative.
Nope. Yeah. So we have, in addition to our work program, we have several great day programs. We have programs for adults with memory loss and dementia. We just opened up the Yesteryear Village on the west side of Green Bay. It's a place where people with dementia can kind of go relive their past, right? They have like a auto shop there, a diner, barber shop.
So let's talk about that. So there are people that maybe 68, whatever, in their 60s, early 70s, that are suffering dementia, which is something else that a lot mm-hmm. of people have misdiagnosed for many, many reasons.
You almost feel like we're all going to get it sometime, don't you? Know what I mean?
And these people, when they get back to a certain spot, their recall is great, and they just feel better about themselves. So you took this building on the west side and brought it back to, what was it, 68? About 68, 69, 70. I mean, it was that era with Corvettes.
Yep.
And people go in there and it's what, $10, $20 an hour? I forgot what that was. Anyway, what a great place for someone to go and just everything comes back. That is like, I had a sister who was through that. So I think that is a very, very cool program. And that was nice. And you guys were really on the edge. You were leading with that. That hadn't really happened in this country.
We
brought that in from another country.
Yep. And in addition to that, we have independent living skills programs for those members that eventually want to get out on their own, get their own living space. We teach budgeting and stuff like that, cooking, cleaning, just prepare them to have their own apartment or if they're going to live in an adult family home. We have a brain injury program, which is kind of a rehabilitation. Those with brain injuries come and work on skills, kind of to refresh memory and stuff like that.
And can I just say one thing? You can be the most healthy, intelligent, mobile human being in the world, and in 2 seconds, you can be somebody needing all these services. Yep. And the reason I say that, there was that TV series called Winning Time. It's about the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yep.
Okay. Did you see that? Yep. And their coach, Jack McKinney, was on his 10-speed bike to go play tennis with the assistant coach, and the brakes failed on his bike. And he went over, and he was the coach of the greatest team in sports, and he went from that guy to comatose for a long time. And even when he finally came to, and the assistant coach came in, and he said, "Hey, I've got a game plan for how we're going to deal with Houston." And they go, "Yeah, Jack, that was 3 weeks ago we played that game." And he had to start almost from scratch. And he did come back coach again in the NBA years later. But again, he went from being the most brilliant man in the NBA to starting his life from scratch. Did you see that? And is that what you guys deal with?
So, yeah, that's some of what we help out with. And again, in reference to the work program, we have people that have suffered strokes or brain injury, and we kind of have to retrain those work skills for them.
And it's like 1 second, your world changes for these people.
Yep.
That friend of ours who was in here with his daughter, she was 30 years old and had a stroke. And he was in the media, so kind of knew about you. But how do people...
We need to get this word out
even
more.
You guys are a great facility.
It's such a phenomenal thing.
So that's why I'm here. Yeah, to spread the word. I think people see our vans all over the city. We transport individuals to various appointments that need transportation. I actually have a contact number.
Okay, you dig that out.
If anyone has any questions about what services Curative can offer, and if they're able to help yourself or someone in your family, reach out to our admissions coordinator, Brenda Jordan. 920-593-3535. And then any work questions, you can reach out to me at 920-593-3523.
Outstanding.
And we'll link everything on our social media and our website. We'll put links to your website and all that good stuff.
I just want to say real quick, my favorite shows as a kid were Miami Vice, the A-Team, and the Lynn Dickey Show, hosted by John Minow.
Thank you! Yeah. Thank you! Give me a little something for that. Thank you! Yeah. Curative Workshop.
Yeah.
Can't beat them.
And how did they both work out?
Did I inspire you?
Yes.
Thank you. You know what? I actually counted up how many wins versus losses I did shows for. It's not good.
Back then, no.
It was not good.
No.
Thank you so much. Back up. Hey, welcome back. Those are the kind of people I admire, like you can't believe. When they devote their lives to helping those that have suffered some misfortunes, all the respect in the world and for people like Sean Franken.
They make the Curative Workshop. Oh, man. And that guy, he had it going in the corporate world and just was missing in his life. And he loves his job. Holy mackerel. That's just great to see that energy.
You got to get him a t-shirt to wear at Curative.
You got it.
You got to give one of the two. Can we bring Brian in now? Brian, can you come in?
I don't think,
Brian. It's one of my favorite people, Brian Aish, is here.
Yes.
But I have to apologize for something.
What's that now?
Hey, Brian.
Well, I think.
Oh, yeah. Nice to see you, man.
I did it again.
Yeah.
I did something again. And you know what it is. What is it, Jim?
Oh,
go ahead.
No, you do a lot of stuff wrong. I don't know, John. This morning.
I'm wearing clothes that didn't quite dry.
So you
I smell like grandma's cellar.
Oh, man. Okay.
Brian, you want to come on? Come on, buddy.
Brian, sit over there. We got to get out of this
conversation. I'm going to apologize.
So.
Remember last week I had that shirt on that smelled because it didn't dry it enough?
I do.
I can smell my jeans right now.
Guests. He just,
Brian, I apologize.
This is what Johnny does is...
You ever leave a pair of waiters
for
in your
days.
Car?
I've been in your position.
Thank you.
Many times. Days.
Thank you. Brian Aish is one of my favorite people in the world, is joining us right now. Todd, did you notice that I smell again today?
I did not notice
that. Thank
you. I'm trying to stay far away.
Okay. Yeah, but he's on the other side of the glass.
I don't dry my stuff enough or something.
You don't what?
Dry my clothes enough.
And you don't dry them at all. That's the problem.
I think you need to take the lint out of your lint trap.
That right. That would help. That would help. That would
really
help. Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that. Seriously? Okay.
And that makes them dry quicker.
Really?
Right. A lot quicker.
I
a
did
lot
not know this.
In this guy.
And right. Don't Thank fill you. Up the dryer.
Don't I that's what I do. Is I fill up so much I just like jam stuff in. It's unbelievable. It's like, how do I get this last, you know, t-shirt in?
Yeah. Just, okay. You're better off two smaller loads, just half hour.
I jam everything in, and I pull stuff out, and it's damp, and it's like, this is still good. It'll dry on my body, and then it smells.
It doesn't, yeah.
All right. Brian Eich is joining us. Brian is one of my heroes, and I hate using the word hero, but I'm going to use it. And it's not simply because, and I don't mean to understate this, because you went to war and lost a leg, okay? But because what you've done afterwards. What you've done is you could have just sat back and, you know, oh, life is tough. Wow. Is that for me? Todd, you're the greatest. Jeez. Bring me coffee. Thank you. But what you've done since then, instead of, and I'll be honest with you, I deal a lot with the Amputee Patriots athletic programs. You got to be a part of that, though, man. You're such an athlete. You got to, I mean, what they do for these kids, kids that suffered amputations or were born. But I mean, like one of these, I'll tell you that one of the stories last week, I was doing their tournament in Fond du Lac, their softball tournament. And the war amputees put together camps for kids that are amputees. Sometimes they're born, many of them were born that way. Other ones because of cancer. But this young kid from Texas, like 9 years old, gets up at the bank with the night before. And they say, hey, tell your story. He goes, yep, we were riding on my dad's pontoon, and I was jumping up in the seats, and we hit a wave, and I fell off, and the propellers cut my legs off. And it's like, here's this little 9-year-old kid telling this story, and the next day he's out there playing softball to show that you'd be such an inspiration. So what I'm saying is you're one of those guys. You could have sat back and felt sorry for yourself and whatever, and it's like, nope, what are you going to do? I'm going to be a wrestling coach. I'm going to be a fishing coach. I'm going to do everything possible to help kids. And the other tragedy, the worst tragedy a person could experience, you lost a son with an accident. But again, what you talk about paying forward, or you could have, and you didn't. And that's why you're a hero, Brian. Because what you do, you take all your amazingly heartbreaking things that have happened, and you're saying, okay, bleep that. I'm going to help kids. And that's what you do. And I just admire the hell out of that.
I'll never accept that word, hero. I think I do those.
I don't use it very often. But because of what you do for kids, you're a hero.
Yeah, I mean, I try to do it for the kids, but it's helping me. It keeps me on the right side of the dirt.
I know.
Yeah, that's interesting because even our guest before talked about giving so much of his time and talent, and he doesn't get paid a lot. He gave up a huge job to do what he does now at Curative, and kind of said the same thing you did. I get as much out of it as some of my clients do, and. You're wearing this T-shirt that says
keep moving forward, you know, and that's what you're doing.
That would be your thing.
But not just for yourself, for others. That's the part that I love.
Yeah.
So what...
I've been learning that along the way. We can talk about that. Absolutely.
Would you be honest with me on something?
Sure.
Can you smell me? Do I smell bad because of my clothes?
Would you stop?
Okay.
Yeah. You're good.
All right, thank you.
If anything, I'm like, it's humid outside. It's okay. Nasty, grubby.
You can tell he works with... kids, you're good. You know, even though you do smell, he just wants to move on and keep moving forward.
Good point.
He's a good dad.
But it's the okay, fish son. Have been biting, huh?
No, the fish have not been biting.
What's going on with that? And you're the coach. The coach can't find the fish.
I am a fishing coach, and I have two other coaches, but I'm not a wrestling coach. I used to be.
Well, you volunteer, though. You help
I'm
out.
On the committee.
Well, that's what I mean. Same thing. You devote time towards that.
I just get yelled at.
But your son is a really good wrestler, isn't he?
My little one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this year he's going to eat a couple pieces of humble pie. Oh. That little chunk. He lifts weights. He goes downstairs and does dumbbell workouts and watches YouTube videos on workouts.
Yeah.
So he's gained 11 pounds since March.
Oh.
So he's in a whole different category now.
Jim, tell him what you used to do to make weight.
X-Lax.
Oh, I didn't
rubber suits.
Yeah, I did the rubber suits in Hortonville down in the boiler room. Three pairs of sweatpants.
You
and
couldn't
sweatshirt.
Do that today. They wouldn't do that today.
Well, they have... percentages, you can only drop so much a week. I was dropping 11
that's
pounds
why
a week.
I'm trying to be careful on my that's keto not, diet
and a
I
little
don't
guy you were a little
much.
Guy too dropping 11 pounds that's
yeah
crazy
and I thought you know back in the 90s that okay I'm gonna you know weigh my food that's how I'm gonna maintain my weight so what did Brian eat for lunch a loaf of bread thinking that was smart
all the carbs in the world
oh, yeah. Worst thing I could have done
what did you 101
Yeah, 103.
103.
Yeah, 98, and then we went up. Well, you go up 2 pounds, and then another 1 pound.
Well, I don't know. So 105.
What is that? That was 105. Yeah, but that was. I thought you talk about 90s. That was the 70s. So it was a long time.
I was born in the 70s.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for being here,
thanks for coming on.
All right. Hey, we're coming up next, my hero, Preston Stober, NBC 26.
We'll talk. Did you guys see what I got to do last week?
No.
I got to fly in a P-51 Mustang.
At EAA?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well,
that's cool.
That's we're very down there a few cool. days.
Well, that's fun.
Ashley Smits from Manitowoc.
Oh, I know Convex. Ashley.
Yeah.
Oh, she's awesome.
She sent me a message and said, hey, they're looking for Purple Heart guys. You want to do this?
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was freaking cool.
That's where'd you go? Very cool.
I mean, did you, on Matt, how, tell me about that experience. How big is that plane? I should know what that
is. It's tiny. They call it the Hot Rod of the Sky. It's, can I swear?
No.
Okay. In
it's 10 grand. You can swear if you got a check for 10 grand.
In Saving Private Ryan, remember at the very end when they were a bit overrun by the Nazi tanks?
Yes.
And these planes came in. Right. Those were the P-51s.
Yeah. It was so loud.
They changed the war. They changed the war.
It's a beast. It's like all motor. Yeah. It's like and a little bit of aluminum and crazy loud.
It's like a Corvette in the skies.
I got to see Lake Winnebago upside down.
That guy's hot dog in it?
Three times.
Did you throw up?
Yeah. No.
Wow.
No.
That is pretty cool what they do, you know. And I thought
we did three barrel rolls. Yeah. We didn't like fly.
Wow.
It was fun. But there was, I got a video of it on TikTok.
Oh, man.
All right. Well,
check that out.
So you were in this plane at the time? Wow. Oh, you took the video.
It's got 12,000 views. Yeah.
Wow. That's so awesome.
So these kids aren't military kids. You'll take any kids fishing?
For the fishing?
Yeah, who's your...
Like, the team.
Tell me about...
High school, right?
So, yeah, it's high school. So...
the fishing we're talking about, right?
Yep.
We're going to set a quick break.
Oh, I want to just hear who clientele.
All right. I saw the Brian hand and arm signal.
All right, no, you like that? Brian Eich is with us. Oh, pull Roy Orbison. I like that.
Love him.
Back right after this.
Today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here with Brian Eich talking about everything in your amazing life. This could be like
little Jerry Springer action going on.
No, yeah, we go on and on. But if you didn't see Brian's documentary, talk a little bit about that. Just briefly, Brian, I know everybody brings that up anywhere you go and you do a lot of speaking and everything, but how did that come about from the start to finish? You got wounded. And I will say this. Okay, so you got shot in Afghanistan, right?
Yep.
In which part of Afghanistan?
Kunduz, northern. North. It was a German sector up by Tajikistan.
Okay.
Kunduz province.
That's a bad area because they were coming through from Pakistan up there, right? Or that's a little bit more.
We had a lot of
east.
Chechenian rebels up there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is it at the time and watching your series and I deal with a lot of wounded troops and you know, everything. Yours didn't seem as traumatic as some, but it just wouldn't heal on you correctly. Right. Would you put it that way?
Yeah. I don't know. You want me to start with how the documentary came about?
Yeah.
So we were told when we deployed with the 10th Mountain Division that we were going to have a camera crew from the.
Okay, I'm just going to say one thing.
Yep.
When I did two trips to Walter Reed Hospital.
Yep.
And I was in Ward 57 at Walter Reed.
Me too.
Okay. There were more people from the 10th Mountain Division there than any other division. They don't send the 10th Mountain Division to nice places. That's all I'm going to say. True?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reason in that documentary where I'm cussing out, it was a pain management physician's assistant.
Okay.
Is who I cussed out.
Okay.
And she was telling me I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do with my leg. Well, 2 weeks after that part was filmed, they found a stitch that they missed.
Wow.
So I wasn't, I knew something was wrong and it wasn't my fault. And she's like blaming me. I'm like, listen.
Bleep, bleep, bleep.
Listen, big B little itch.
Yes.
Close.
You're kind of close to that sometimes, Jim.
So the New York Times was filming us. They had combat action crews in Afghanistan with us. And they found out that I was a single parent as a platoon sergeant. So at the time, I was a heavy weapons platoon sergeant. Later on, I take over the scout platoon.
E6?
E7.
E7.
Yeah. And then it just kind of ballooned. You know, they were looking for seven people to do my mini series called A Year at War. So if you Google New York Times A Year at War, there's like seven mini.
Okay.
And they won awards in 2011. And then I don't know why they just said, hey, can we keep filming? And I'm like, for what? And they're like, we don't know. And it went on for 10 years.
Wow.
But, you know, I had one person, you know, they always say, don't read the comments. Don't read the comments. Well, I read the comments. And one guy's like, it's scripted. Like, I scripted my son's death. And I'm like, okay, don't read the comments.
But I got a good friend. He's a Vietnam vet. And he posted one time about, give us your, and the same thing. Oh, you're lying. You're phony, blah, blah, blah. So you're right. Don't read the comments because you just have some unbelievable idiots literally sitting in his basement doing those things. So it's
oxygen
nothing.
Oxygen thieves.
Absolutely. Oxygen thieves. They'd be better off not breathing our air.
Or if you do read them, why do we hang on to the negative one? You know, there was probably tons of positive.
Yeah, the 99% positive.
And then
0.9.
Bring up a crazy valid, what you just said about focusing on the positive, not focusing on the negative. That's literally what I do.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, you know, how did Joey die? You know, da 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 da. I'm like, it doesn't matter. None of it's going to bring him back.
Yeah.
Like, he's gone. So I focus on all the positives. I don't dwell on how he died, all that. If
we can just explain, your son was hit by a car riding his bike.
Yeah, he wanted to go pick up his iPod from his buddy's house, and an old man in a truck hit him at 50 miles an hour.
This happened after, of course, you were wounded and the whole thing. Yeah. And that's part of the story, father, soldier, son.
Yeah.
I always get that mixed up, but father, soldier, son.
Yep.
Okay. It's an amazing, like I told you this, Jim, earlier. I don't cry a lot.
Yeah.
I cried in that, watching that. I did. I don't know how somebody can't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting choked up
right now even talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, what am I learning from it? It's been out 4 years now. It came out during COVID, so I don't think it got the exposure it should have. But
well, yes and no, though. I mean, I was sitting at home with just got a new hip and doing real estate and COVID, and I watched that thing literally from start to finish. It was, you couldn't turn away from it.
But
the
what I'm learning is, you know, a lot of people is they're learning that, and I'm trying to figure out how to say this, that I'm saying what people are afraid to say.
Yeah.
And it's out there in, you know, the laundry's out there. This is what you experience after combat and stuff. And I mean, it was pretty raw, but you know, I look back at the first time I watched it and I'm like, why did they film this? Why did we do this for 10 years? And I watched it and I'm like, oh, Brian's got issues. So I've learned a lot from it. Two things that I took from the documentary is, you know, my oldest son, Isaac, who lives here in Green Bay, works at H.J. Martin.
And went into the military.
Yeah, hated it.
Yeah.
But he said, Dad, I couldn't make any friends because we moved too much. So that's why I said Joey will start school in Luxembourg Casco and he'll finish school in Luxembourg Casco. And then Joey, when he was crying at the wrestling, and he said, you know, I wonder if I could be a good wrestler if my dad could get on the mat with me. So when he said that, I was 247 pounds. And we're 4 years.
Ironically, and this is no lie, while I was watching your series, I was 247 pounds. Remember I told you that I ballooned out because I had a hip and it was during COVID?
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not going to believe this. And we're about the same height. And I weighed 200. Remember I said that 247
pounds. Careful, John.
Pounds.
The story's going to end not well for you.
I weighed myself this morning, John. I'm 180.
So am I.
And Moby Dick's a minnow.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Wow.
But okay, I cheat. I do one.
You work
shoot
out
myself. No, I don't
do
work out.
Do you do the Ozempic thing?
Wegovy. Semaglutide.
But do you give yourself a shot?
Once a week.
See, I could not give myself a shot.
It does. It doesn't hurt. And then you know
doesn't
what it does? It literally talks to you. It says, hey, fatty, don't eat that.
How much
way to get personal.
Is in the vial? About, do you know, like when you, or it doesn't come, you take the,
it's just like this much, this tiny little needle you poke in your belly.
No,
you don't
I understand
feel it.
That, but with the, but the solution is in, is you take it out and
you,
how much
you just, oh, okay. If you take it out,
no. What do you mean? You got a needle.
Yep.
That's empty, right? It doesn't come with the solution in the needle.
Yeah, it does. Pen. It's a pen, like a. Bee sting pen.
It's not really? Like it's not like going to the nurse and having her with the vial.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
Oh yeah,
you don't
fill it up with a syringe. You just take off the cap and pop yourself in the belly
once a week.
Yeah.
And then you dispose of the whole thing.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow, and it's
really good for the environment.
Has it worked for you? Is that? I mean, really, you look great. But
yeah,
is that,
I feel great.
Is that?
You're a lot thinner than when I met you at Costco.
Probably 30 pounds since.
Wow. That,
yeah.
All right. So you
would
were.
Would you
at,
do me a favor? Would you give me that shot once a week?
I can.
I still don't think I could do it myself.
Is it in your?
I can see my foot now when I stand up. I only have one.
Stop bragging.
Sorry.
Wow. That's awesome, and that's not cheap either. But it's obviously worked for you.
You paid for it. I get it from the VA. Taxpayer money. My brother tells me that weekly.
Want to double your dose and cut a deal?
Stop in once a week. And it's the segment.
I can't find my box. I don't know what happened to it.
Brian, I want to talk to you about, and I know you give very inspirational talks. I've heard that. But tell me more about the engagement with the youth and on the fishing, the wrestling. Just, I'm with Johnny on.
I'm just we're with Brian Eich. Go ahead.
Brian Eich, I'm sorry. Father, Soldier, Son. Yeah. Documentary that was made by the Times, and I think a lot of us have seen that. And if you haven't, you need to see that to put life in perspective. You know,
it's not an easy watch though. Don't say I'm gonna enjoy this. I'm gonna sit and watch Netflix tonight. Watch this. It's not an easy watch. It's not like this is so nice. It's jarring at times, isn't it, Brian?
Yes. And you know they got over 500 hours, but let's be clear. It took me a long time to realize what that documentary is about.
Right.
Brian's got issues.
Okay.
And Maria's a saint angel that's my saving grace.
Okay.
That picture was painted.
Okay.
There's plenty of other footage out there. I wish they'd come out with a part two.
Yeah.
Not to bag on anybody or anything, but I'm not always a jerk. I'm not always a prick.
I didn't think you came off that way.
I think they painted it pretty well.
Do you really?
I was kind of a little stern with the boys, but I had to be. I was a single parent, and sometimes they had to cook for themselves, and sometimes they had to do their own laundry, and I had to make sure that happened.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't take that away at all.
He
honestly.
Still owes me $400.
Who does?
Isaac.
Oh. Where do you find him?
Yeah.
So it was. Okay, but tell me what, I want to talk more about this leadership role you have with the youth in the community.
Oh, so when we moved to Luxembourg, I wanted Jackson. He's 7 now, 65 pounds of beast
muscle.
Mode. Yeah, he works out daily. But
me too.
I wanted to have him in a good wrestling school. So, you know, Luxembourg Casco's
can't beat it.
Two state titles in a row.
They just breed wrestlers there,
yeah,
don't they?
Do.
It's like a wrestling farm.
I figured it out. You know all the farms out there?
Yeah.
The nitrate levels in Kewaunee County are unregulated.
Okay.
To a point. They're drinking pure cow poop.
Oh, okay.
They're harder than woodpecker lips. I mean, I'm telling you, that's why they have good wrestlers. You know,
I have never heard that in my entire life.
When you talk with veterans and war veterans especially, that's they come up with the greatest slogans.
Harder than
all
woodpecker
time.
Lips? Yeah. I've used that for years.
I love it.
And they can cost us money too. So so far so good. We always thought it was the baling hay because you guys would come in at Ron Colley and kick our butt.
He swore.
I did not.
$10.
But there's a thing about being country strong.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I grew up baling hay in Shiocton.
Right.
That's what I mean.
My son will do that. I already met, you know, Bob Brousseau across the street, and Jackson's going to bale hay when he gets older.
I've
been trying to tell the fishing story for like 10 minutes now.
So. Well, you've been on
the
tell it.
You know what's sad? The river rail burnt down.
Yeah, it did. That was my favorite place to have our fishing meetings at.
I remember doing, I'll never forget, the greatest meal I've ever had for a banquet. It's always normally tips or whatever and chicken or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They had fresh fish for the Shiocton High School football banquet the year they won the state championship. And people like donated their fish that they've caught and everything. Walleye. Yeah. So it's like grilled walleye. It was
There's
like,
9 bars in that town and 3 churches.
I love that town.
Okay. So the fishing team, when I moved to Luxembourg, I was on my way to a fishing tournament and I hit a deer. I had to get my truck fixed by Joe Strand at ProTech Auto Body in New Franken. And he goes, you're the fisherman guy that just moved here. I'm like, yeah. He goes, my son's never caught over a 2-pounder. Well, he's got mild autism.
Okay.
And I said, well, let's go up to Kangaroo Lake. I took him up there. He caught a 4.7 pound smallmouth, was elated. I got it on video. And his dad and mom, Teresa Strand, said, you're starting a fishing team. So we did, and we're in year seven. We were state champions last year.
Yep.
We had 2 national qualifiers. We got our butt kicked in nationals, but still, we made it there in our 6th year as a team, and we got 19 kids this year.
Wow, that's fantastic. Awesome.
Yeah, we just had a derby on Sunday on Sturgeon Bay, and it was horrible.
That's but I mean, that's awesome. You get kids involved with these kind of things,
right?
Yeah. I mean, it's fun to see them learn.
Do they have a skeet shooting team too, or something?
Their trap team is
trap
really good.
Trap team.
Yep. One of my fishing coaches, Joe Vincent, actually is one of the coaches for the trap team. So we try and collaborate a lot, but yeah, their trap team is very
I've covered
successful.
Their thing out at Brown County Sportsman's Club, mm-hmm. where they have their big qualifiers and everything for state. These young kids, I think it's a great thing getting involved with a sport like that, because you know what? Everybody can do it as long as you devote your time and effort to it. You know, you don't have to be 6'7". You don't have to be 280 pounds. Every kid can get involved.
Are we
with
supposed
this.
To say peace back?
No, yeah, it's 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But what I think is what you're offering these kids, besides, you know, fishing or skeet shooting, you know, it's one of those idle hands is the work of the devil. So just to have opportunities for kids to do
I
things.
I got to stay busy.
And I think kids need to stay, like your sons, people, especially those of us that maybe be a little bit more ADD, we need to keep busy or else we're going to find trouble.
It's a veteran thing with me is I can't tell veterans enough. You have to keep your brain occupied or your brain will overtake you.
Right.
And I can't think. If I think, Brian's in trouble.
Well, the problem is with that and with the vets I've dealt with is when you're in the military, literally every minute is planned out for you. There's
if
nothing
you're not
you can,
early, you're dead.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, it's so structured.
I was here 45 minutes before I was supposed
That's what I mean. And once you get out and it's like, they struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys struggle with that. And we talked a little bit about alcoholism. There's so many young guys that came back that had never been big drinkers before, but they became. And that just put them down a rabbit hole that then you have to really help pull them out of.
It's a number. It numbs you.
It numbs you. You're exactly right. And that'll be a whole different show. We can talk about that. Brian Eich is with us. We're going to send it to a quick break. I got to, when you're in fishing tournaments, I got to think those guys down south are a step above bass fishing than Northeast Wisconsin. True or false?
True.
True.
To a point. Yeah.
Because that is a religion. I used to watch that bass fishing show.
It is a religion.
It's
down
a
there.
Religion down there. It's crazy. Yeah. We got to send a quick break. Brian Eich is our very special guest. Back right after this. I'll keep your eyes on the road you held upon the wheel. Hey, welcome back. Mine or the Mayor here on a good-looking Tuesday morning, 69 in Green Bay, 68 in Appleton. 67 in Oshkosh, with Brian Eich. A little veteran salute here. Brian, you do so much now in your retired military career. What do you look back on in your career in the military? And you were at the elite unit. I mean, you really were. Where it's like, I hated it, but I'm glad I went through it. Because so many guys say, I wouldn't go and do that again for $1 million, but I would pay $1 million to have the experience I brought back with me. How do you feel about that?
I absolutely loved the military.
Okay.
Structure.
Okay.
You know, I look back, I'm like, how the hell did I do that?
Exactly.
Like, I was a single parent as an infantry platoon sergeant. Like, I was at work at 5 o'clock.
In war.
Yeah. But I mean, even back in the cantonment area, you know, I went to work at 5 in the morning. I didn't get back till 7, 8 at night.
Wow.
If the kids had to stay over at daycare, it was $60 a night. I look back, I'm like, how the hell did I do that?
Yeah.
You know, but when you're busy, you're organized.
Right.
You know, now I'm retired. I'm just a scattered brain freak. You know, it's like, I can't stay. If I don't put it in my phone, I'll forget it.
Yeah.
But no, I absolutely love the structure. I didn't have to worry about being fed. Didn't have to worry about where I was living. I just took care of my beans and bullets, took care of my troops. And it was a brotherhood, y'all. Joined for the same reasons for the most part.
What was training like to become a ranger in the 10th Mountain Division?
Now, you're saying I'm trying to stay positive, but if I had to do ranger school over again, I'd tell them to keep that tab.
There we go.
Because they told me that if I ever get cold or I ever get hungry, I just rub the tab and it takes care of it. That's a lie.
Magically doesn't work, huh?
No. But what it is it's a mindset.
Yeah.
So, you know, like ranger school, I learned that your body can keep going after your mind quits. You just got to keep going.
Think about that at your workout, Jim.
So
next time you fall over doing a lunge.
You know, your mind tells you you're hungry way before you're really hungry, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But you know, they teach you in ranger school, over, you know, doing it is food deprivation and sleep deprivation. And when you see ants, when you're pulling security and you see ants boxing, or your buddy's trying to put quarters in a tree for a soda, you know, when you get tired, you do some really stupid crap. And, and at the time you're doing this stupid crap, you know, I was watching ants box.
In your mind.
And I'm like, this is not happening, but I'm watching it. But it never happened.
It was that tough, huh?
It just messes with you.
Where was it?
Well,
what state? Georgia?
Yes, but I got crap from a Vietnam guy last week because I didn't have to go through a desert phase out in Fort Bliss, Texas.
No.
Because they did away with the desert phase when I went to Ranger School in 1999. So you do Benning phase in Fort Benning, Georgia. Then you go down to up to Dahlonega, Georgia to mountain phase. And then you go down to Eglin Air Force Base for swamp phase.
Did you deal with any rattlesnakes?
Yeah. I mean, I remember the banana spiders the most.
Oh.
The spiders in your face while you're walking. So I used to walk with my rifle, you know, at attention. But I did such a good job in Florida phase. They said, hey, Brian, could you go back through and time out?
Yeah. Hey, we got to read this text from this.
That could have been number four right there.
This lady.
I love this guy. We just had a pause as a attractive person walked to the coffee shop with legs up to her neck. But anyway, got a text here. Good morning, Jim, John, and Brian. Great show this morning. Brian, you're an amazing testament as a person and as a veteran. Thank you for all you do for our veteran community. I'm married to a 30-year Army veteran, my wonderful husband, Jeff. I hope you two can meet someday as he just started his fishing journey very late in life, and it's really finding a new hobby has helped him greatly. We follow you on Facebook, and thank you for sharing so many personal and intimate details of your life as you truly are an inspiration, and whether you know it or not, you help so many people realize that with any obstacle in life, you can overcome it with a positive heart, mind, and attitude. Thank you, Brian, for all you do. Kathy.
Well, if she's local, brian.ice@hotmail.com. Shoot me an email. We'll go fishing.
Outstanding.
That's great. Wow, that's really
she's
something.
She's in Green Bay. She's in Green Bay.
Okay. Yep. Perfect.
I mean, that's from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Thank you.
And that's why I said you're a hero. And I mean that.
Yeah.
So two things. I speak at high schools all the time. I'm going out to Trempealeau for this Veterans Day to speak with John Dinkey, one of my old Army buddies.
Where? Trempealeau.
Trempealeau. Out by La Crosse.
Oh, okay.
But one of the first times I spoke was at the CVMA at the Resch Center, the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association.
Yep.
There was like, I don't know, a couple hundred people there. And I was a little intimidated, a bunch of big biker dudes and stuff. But I just went out there and had fun. They liquored me up too. So it was kind of easy. But when we were all done with it, you know, I'm shaking hands. And this big burly biker dude comes up to me. And he goes, hey, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. And he goes, thanks for taking the barrel out of my mouth.
Yeah, well.
And I was like,
wow.
I got to keep talking.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm saying, but I got to keep talking. So now I call it the one mentality. I just got to reach one person every time. 99% of them might not get a thing out of it, but I'm going to reach one of you, and that's all that matters.
I've lost five friends, or not friends, acquaintance, people I know. How about you?
Three in combat.
Okay.
Well, this is just from my battalion.
Yeah.
So three from combat wounds, seven since to suicide.
Yep.
None of them I thought would ever do something like
that. I've lost five to suicide.
It never gets that bad.
Yeah, I know.
Now, here's a man moment. Have I thought about it? If you can look me in the eyes, if you've ever had something traumatic happen in your life, doesn't matter how small, how big, you know, losing a kid, losing a leg, losing parents, whatever. If you tell me you've never thought about it, you're a freaking liar.
Great point. Absolutely. Absolutely great point. Brian, we're running. Can you stick around or do you have to go fishing?
I'm retired. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow?
All right, what?
Whatever I want.
Can you hang out here like for the rest of our show?
Sure.
All right. I just have to, one quick thing.
Yep.
When people are like that in that situation and they're close to that, is there any magic potion that can be done or is it a long therapy type thing? What can make that difference?
You have to get in their bubble.
Okay.
They're in their bubble. Their thought process is theirs. But, you know, I get, you know, people say, how do you do it? What do you mean, how do I do it? It's not hard. It's two choices, up or down. It's really freaking dark down there. I don't like that darkness. You got to keep going that way. That's why I wear crap like this all the time, you know.
Keep moving forward.
It's not hard, but you got to get in their bubble. You got to get their trust. so where they can tell you what's really bothering them. But I'm not a psychotherapist. I just know what works for me. The biggest thing I see with the veterans, stop feeling sorry for yourself. They're doing it for attention 99% of the time, but you can't tread that water because that one person isn't. So you got to be careful with it. But you got to call them out. They got to own their head first.
You cut right through everything, don't you?
You have to.
No BS.
Cut the bullshit.
Okay, we weren't supposed to say that word. Okay, I thought we could get through. Todd, I thought we'd get through it. 10 grand. You're sticking around, though.
All right.
All right.
How long am I going to be here?
All day. Back after this.